Hi guys, today Paul Perez and I review Netflix's Cobra Kai Season 3 and give our perspectives on the new season and anything else we thought about it. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the Reseller Niche Podcast, a show for e-commerce buyers and sellers where we investigate unique items being bought and sold and show you how research equals knowledge equals profit.
Howdy, folks. Welcome back to another episode of the Reseller Niche Podcast. I'm here with my main man, Paul. How's it going, Paul?
Everything cool. It's a sunny day here in New Jersey. It's about 41 degrees, and that's the weather update, definitely.
Nice, nice. I think it is about the same here in the Sacramento area, so can't complain. It could be worse.
Sactown.
So, that's right, Sactown. So, Art, do you want to go over our topic for today? It's kind of revisiting a topic, but how about you?
Yeah,
everyone know.
Absolutely. You know, Mo and I are definitely big 80s fans and love to reminisce over the 80s. And this show is a celebration of that, as we are going to be reviewing Cobra Kai Season 3 that just premiered on Netflix in the very beginning of the new year, Season 3, the new season.
Yeah.
And that's what we're going to be talking about today, definitely.
Absolutely. And for anyone that doesn't know, we did this, I want to say, 6 weeks, a month ago, something like that. Excuse me. And then it was, let's say here, this subject is something that's kind of near and dear to our hearts a little bit because we're 80s kids a little bit. So obviously it's taken from the movie. But as always, we just need to let you know. Super spoiler alert. So if you haven't seen this, I believe you said it came out January 1st?
Of this year, yes. I'm sorry. I'm just adjusting the light over here.
Oh, no worries. Yeah. I'm doing the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
January the 1st. Yeah, that's when it premiered on Netflix, yes.
On Netflix, yeah. So if you haven't, then tune out now. This, like we said, is for Season 3.
Spoilers!
Spoiler alert. So I guess the back will sum it up, like Season 1 and 2 in the first, in like 10 seconds. Johnny comes back, sets up Cobra Kai Dojo, and it's kind of the flip, you know. Daniel's son has become, I guess, the rich kid in a sense, and he's got his own car dealership, and he's doing really well.
LaRusso Auto, I think, something like that.
Kick the competition or something like that. So, yeah. good stuff. So long story short, they kind of flip roles and Cobra Kai is back as a dojo. And they kind of went over that a little bit. And towards the end of Season 2, we see the return of Kreese, the long lost, I guess, sensei, Johnny's old sensei. So we kind of see him coming back and we see a few of the characters. And then the cliffhanger from Season 2 was a big kind of high school brawl, shall we say. And I don't know why I always blank out his name. We call him the Spanish kid, but I always forget his name.
I'll bring up the cast of characters, but keep talking.
Yes. But long story short, it's like 10 of them fighting the two different dojos, and he gets kicked off the steps from the second floor, and you think that he's going to die, and that's kind of where they leave it. Like, he's falling from the sky. You can see his arms flailing.
His name is Miguel.
Miguel. I don't know why I always blank on that. It's Miguel. Anyway, so, yeah, that's where they leave it. When we come back into Season 3, everyone's walking on eggshells because it's like a town full of karate hooligans walking around, these, you know, teenage karate hooligans, and the school, the city, the town, they want to shut down anything karate related. And that's kind of where we start. So what did you think about kind of the angle of beginning of Season 3 there that they took it to?
Okay, so the beginning of Season 3, like you said, there was that big fight at the end of Season 2. And I like that, actually. Like, it doesn't seem like I like that reaction from the town, that they're like kind of seeing like a negative light on karate because of this big brawl. And then Miguel, like, he fell. He, like, it looks like he got crippled. It's a possibility, like, he won't be able to walk. So I like, because that would be a natural reaction from the town, from any town. Like, oh, these kids, they're all learning karate, which is great. Everybody, I'm sure, in the beginning was all in for that. But how there's like a negative look at karate, you know, because of this incident. So, like, anything karate is just, people are like, I don't even want to talk about it. Like, I'm surprised that parents are even, that's like, I do have some criticisms about this season. But the kids are like, karate class is still going on. Like, and I'm surprised that was still happening. You know what I mean? Maybe the kids, the parents just want to pawn off the kids. Like, I got to go to work. So I don't even want to like deal with it kind of thing. But on the flip side is like, you know, I know there will be parents that would probably be like, dude, like, you're not going back to karate. Like, these kids are like hurting each other in school. And like, Daniel LaRusso, his daughter, like, got like a scar on her arm. Like, it's like, it's not like a little scar. It's like a big scar from this fight. Like, like a girl, like, pretty much took a knife to her. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, when we think about it, it doesn't seem like, when we look at the show, because we find so many of the characters so likable, whether they're heroes or villains, like, oh, you know, that's not a big deal. But like, if you're looking at it from the outside, like, the common sense kind of perspective, like, she cut her with a knife, basically, and she got a scar from it. So, it's like, any parent would be like, dude, I'm not even probably going to send you back to that school. You know what I'm saying? So I would knock the show from the very start right here, that actually, like, Kreese is still having classes, and there's still a lot of kids in his classes. And this is like in the beginning of the season. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Yeah.
As he has control of Cobra Kai now, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So kind of, that's another thing. In the season two, Johnny kind of walks away, throws his cell phone in the ocean. Very dramatic scene. And then Kreese kind of just takes his old role as the head of Cobra Kai, I guess, basically. So Kreese seems like, for a little bit, you thought, okay, maybe he's changed his stripes, but no, he goes the complete opposite way. So let me see here. What I thought of, I mean, maybe this is a little bit episode 3, 4, 5. It kind of smacked of Footloose a little bit. The whole
they even mentioned it as a joke. What is it going to be? Some kind of Kung Fu Footloose or something? Like, Daniel does that, like in some city congress meeting thing.
Exactly, because they have. I mean, up further along the line, they have to go to City Hall and, you know, defend karate, and because they're going to drop the tournament and all that.
The big tournament that was in the end of the first season, that was in the end of the first movie. The you know, like, so this is a big, like, thing, you know, for all these students.
Hall Valley Karate Tournament. So
it's kind of like a fist. It's a the logo is like a fist, you know.
I'd love to see where they actually shoot that. I'm sure it's all just a bunch of posters in some random high school gym, but. At 19, very 1980s posters and logos. I think that's very cool. But I think what I liked that they reinforced Kreese's character, and he kind of comes back and he kind of takes over that old role. What else did I'm going to try and go with the positives this time first. I liked that also that. Let me see. How do I start? They start going back to a lot of the older characters from the movies, and not just the first movie.
Sequel. Yeah, like sequel. Going to the sequel, like Karate Kid 2, which came out in the 80s as well.
Yep. And then so basically you got Johnny, basically he's lost control, and his prize pupil student is in a coma. And after that, then you've got obviously Johnny, and now his car dealership is starting to come under attack because of negative feedback from, you know, locals saying, you know, we don't want to go there. So it's kind of like a storm, like NS storm in a sense, that basically that things are going badly. And it looks like the only person who's actually doing pretty well is Kreese. You know, he's, you know, for, like you said, for whatever reason, people are showing up, his dojo is getting bigger. and nobody else in town apparently does karate. It's just some older guy in West Hollywood or wherever the hell this is, imaginary LA. But
it's not in a great part of LA as well. Like I think it's in Reseda.
Is it in Reseda? Okay, yeah, that's an argument to be made. I don't live in LA. I've been there, but I don't know it that well. Because the whole thing is that Johnny's supposedly from the hills. Like, they talk about that later. Like, Miguel is surprised later on to find out that Johnny was a rich kid from the hills. They always say the hills. And then Daniel supposedly, I guess Miguel finds out he was from Reseda, which is, I guess, a less affluent part of LA. But they call this the All Valley tournament. So I'm guessing this is somewhere in between. I'm guessing if you've got hills and, you know.
Well, you live out there, so I this is all Chinese.
Yeah.
Like, I've never been to California. So,
yeah, exactly. It's just it kind of cracked me up a little bit because I always just remember I remember listening to another podcast and they were talking about how this is from the movie. Johnny and his biker gang come down, and they said if that actually took place, if he drove from his home in the hills to the beach, it would take like 2 hours, but they show it in like showing up in like 30 seconds. So
a hop, skip, and a jump.
Exactly. Everything in LA is the same, just like everything in the Bay Area is the Golden Gate Bridge. That's it. But I like the fact that it's kind of in this grimy little dojo still. They keep that. I hope they don't get rid of that. It doesn't look
Dojo's great. That Cobra Kai dojo is great. Like, there's been a lot of great scenes, even this season, in that dojo, definitely.
Absolutely. And I guess the only thing I can, I'm going off tangent here, thinking about the original movie and the dojo. In the original movie, that dojo looks like it's at a busy intersection, if I remember correctly. Because I don't know why, I remember a scene where I think Daniel's son, and I'm going off subject here, sorry, but he's eating at a Chinese restaurant and he runs across the street to the dojo. And then he looks through the window and that's where he sees Johnny, and Johnny smiles at him and he runs away scared, like, oh no, I can't go there. But this one looks more like it's in a mini mall. Like, there's a 7-Eleven right there. I guess that's where Johnny found it again. So I don't know if they moved it or just the other places went out of business. Like, I don't see any other, like, I don't see an intersection there. But anyways.
No, remember, Johnny opened this up in season one. Like, it wasn't even a thing. Like,
so it was the same place then.
Yeah, it's not the same place. Like, he just opened it up. You know?
That makes sense then. So anyways, I'm getting off tangent here. So I would say I want to talk a little bit about the characters, the character build up here. So you've got the two sides, the two factions, right? At the beginning of season three.
So the LaRusso side, like Daniel Miyagi-Do, right?
Yeah.
It's like Daniel LaRusso and his students. And then you got Kreese and his students. Yeah. Because Johnny, like you said, he walked away after what happened. Miguel ended up in the hospital.
Yeah. So then at the beginning, obviously you've got Miguel in a coma at the beginning of this season three. So it's kind of up in the air if he's ever going to come back. You know, is he going to walk? Is he going to live? Because technically he's not. He's on machines at this point. So, and then I think what they do is they put a real effort in to bring back everybody from the past. And over the season, you see, and I forget her name, the main characters from Karate Kid 2.
Yes. You have Chosen, who was the villain. And then Asian lady's name, I'll get it right now. Just bear with me, but keep talking.
So then they tied it in well. Obviously, Daniel LaRusso, the dealership is some kind of Japanese car dealership, obviously. So it has that big tie-in. So
and I'm sorry, the Japanese lady's name is Kumiko, and Kumiko, and then you have Chosen. Definitely, he's the villain. He's like the main person Daniel fights at the end, who showed up in this season.
Yes, and I thought on a side note too, it's funny when I see like either Johnny fighting Daniel or Chosen fighting Daniel. I in the fight scenes, I felt like Daniel LaRusso, Daniel's son, was a little stiff in the sense that I kind of feel like he was turning into geriatric Daniel. Johnny looks like he could take a punch, maybe not, you know, he's not 18, but he looks a little bit more realistic, at least trying to do these things. But there's several fight scenes over where you actually see them fighting random people. Like Daniel fights Chosen. I think he could have killed him at that point. I mean,
who could have killed who? Who could have killed who?
Well, Daniel would have just been in a coma himself. I mean, Johnny could have killed him about 20 times already. So I think they're stretching that. I mean, if we're going to negatives, I think they're stretching the whole thing with Daniel being the top dog. Because I think at this point he's like 10th in line behind Johnny, Kreese, Chosen, maybe even Kimiko, who knows. But I mean, it's not believable that he can do these things to me.
Okay.
What do you think about that?
Now, you know what? Like, I see it a couple of ways. I do agree with you that definitely Johnny and Chosen have more of an alpha male presence.
Yes.
Meanwhile, Daniel has more of a beta male presence, you know?
Yes.
But this show definitely has, since the very first episode, and this is something that I love about it, because it has a very B-movie kind of feel. The whole show does, you know?
Yeah.
And it kind of embraces that. You know what I'm saying? Like, it could be like kind of ABC family hokey, but then it could get like kind of violent. And so the way I see Daniels, and that's a great point that you brought up, that he can actually do these things. If I keep my mind in the B movie kind of brain, like I like him beating people up. You know what I'm saying? Does he have a dad bod like compared to the other two guys? Like I'm talking about Chosen and Johnny. Yes, he does.
Yeah.
And he does look a little bit frail, definitely.
Yeah.
But an old boyfriend of my mother's used to work with this guy that used to like kind of practice some form of martial arts. And like, even if you like snuck up on him, just like kind of being goofy, he like will put you on a hold super quick. And this guy was like a shorter guy. He was definitely stocky, but he was shorter. So when I put it in that context in my mind, for me, even like somebody with a dad bod, like if you cross them and like they know their stuff, they'll kick your ass. You know what I mean? Like, look at Mr. Miyagi. Mr. Miyagi, may he rest in peace. But he kind of looks like a little bit of a koala bear. You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
He's like short and cute, but if you cross him, you know he's gonna put you, you know, your ass in the air and your face on the ground. He's just like, and I don't mean that in a sexual sense. I mean that he'll kick your ass. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's true.
So, and also with Kreese, I mean, he's definitely an elderly gentleman in the show. And anytime the action gets intense, there's always a body double in there. It's very seldom him. Like, you know what I'm saying? And like I said, that all adds to like the B-movie appeal to me, where in the past I would be like, this is so bad. But then you have some of those B-movies that they're just like ridiculous fun. So I put this in the kind of ridiculous fun, and you're giving me this nostalgia. So it makes me laugh and it makes me smile as well. But I'm sorry, that's a long answer there. Yeah.
No, I see where you're coming from now. I didn't think of it that way. Because I'll explain why I kind of am a little disappointed with specifically Daniel, because you said Kreese, it's obvious he has a body double, but if what he chooses, how he chooses to fight or not fight, he knows his age, and you don't see him like, I don't know, flying through the air and like doing all this crazy stuff. You see him actually, you know, manipulating people, kind of coming in, coming out. You know, he shows up to the bar, talks to Johnny for 20 seconds, sees that Johnny's not happy to see him, takes off. So he's kind of matured in an evil sense, shall we say.
And I tell you, like, I love it because he has that actor, Martin Cove, who plays Kreese, he has such presence with his words and his facials alone. He comes in and he just stirs shit up. You know, and like people already, like they all get, oh God, this guy is like a jerk, you know? So he just has to come in, make faces and say things. And like I said, he has an amazing presence.
So
and to defend Daniel, like he does a lot of that stunt work. Like a lot of times we see it's actually him. Like, you know, I'm sure that he has a stunt double too.
Yeah,
so does Johnny, you know what I'm saying? But like you see him, he's in there like mixing it up with these guys.
No, and it's not even so much that like in real life, can they do, you know what? None of these guys can probably do any of that. I'm not even saying that. What I'm saying is in...
Mo, what are you saying? Mo, I'm joking.
That's right. I know. You know, it's all real. Sorry, it's all real. My bad. But, but like, for example, Johnny, like that very first scene from season one, they didn't have him, you know, flying through there. They have him like pulling a hamstring or something, you know, like they make it a little bit more realistic. Like he gets punched, he falls on the ground, he's bleeding, he looks like a bum, and he is up at the, he gets through it eventually. They haven't shown any progression with Daniel. That's, I'm waiting for him to get knocked out, like literally, because it bugs me that, like, even with his daughter, for example, you would think, you know, she doesn't look like her, like the, her arch rival, is it Tori, I believe?
Who I think is like one of the best characters in the show, by the way. I'm a big fan of Tori.
Awesomely evil. But you can see even she's evolved, because towards the end of the, you see she's nervous. Obviously, she's got the scar and all that. She shows her nerves. They show her kind of getting defeated, you know, in a way. But they don't show that with Daniel. They're holding on. I think they're doing that on purpose. Like, he's going to take a beating in season 4. It's going to be from somebody. I don't know. Because even, okay, for example, he goes to Japan. He thinks he's going to get killed by Chosen. They're in the middle of nowhere. And he's, like, been disabled. He, like, uses those paralyzing moves, whatever they are. He can't use his arms. He's on his knees. And then, obviously, he does this whole scene from the end of the movie, like, live or die, man, live or die, man. That whole thing, which I think was hilarious. I love the way they did that. I had no issue with that. But still, maybe not Chosen, but somebody else has to beat this guy's ass. Sorry, it has to happen for this.
No, it's good. It could be like a payoff thing. It could be a thing where, like, when it finally happens, people are like, "Oh wow, like this actually happens to Daniel." So, like, for the first 3 seasons, he never got jacked up, and now he's in the hospital
since the first movie, since Karate Kid 1, since he had Mr. Miyagi there, you know, jumping like 5 guys for him. Since Miyagi's gone, I kind of feel like they always kind of say, okay, he's replaced Miyagi in a sense. Miyagi-Do karate. He always refers to him. You always see the flashbacks.
Always paying respect, yeah.
Always paying respect, which is fine. But at the same time, even in the first movie, you see Miyagi breaking down. He's crying. He's drunk. He's vulnerable. So you kind of see that, like, emotional side of Daniel, but not physically. Like, so anyways, long story short, he needs to get knocked out or something, because Johnny's done it like 20 times already.
Yeah, I can see that. Like, I think that can be a big payoff later. Like, yeah. You know, like in season 4, like, I think they renewed the show into like season 5 or something like that.
Yeah, but that could be it.
Yeah, like, yeah. So it could be coming up. I think with Daniel, and this, I think, even goes back to the first movie, he's a lot of times the emotional, like, core a little bit of the show. Like, when it's like happy times or sad times, he's like the one that kind of deals with that very well. Like, in talking to his daughter and talking to Robbie and talking to his wife, dealing with his employees. Like, he always kind of is like the emotional core. You know what I'm saying? Like, Johnny's kind of like the muscle, and he's starting to get some of the emotion as well. But Johnny's kind of like the kind of go forward, and Daniel, like, kind of, like I said, deals with the emotions and stuff, you know?
That's true. I was pleasantly, I mean, I shouldn't say pleasantly, because in the first 2 seasons, Johnny's character I thought was awesome too. I'd say head and shoulders above everybody else in terms of, not just growth, but, I like his character the best. Above any of the other, the way he plays it, the way he is stuck in 1987 or whatever it is, even more than Kreese, I would say, like we talked about before. So I really, really like that. Let's move on to some of the, because we talked a lot about the big 3, the side, I mean, maybe they're not even side characters anymore, the kids, shall we say. I mean, I don't know. There I'm a little bit mixed. I'll let you go first. Talk about what you thought of the different character roles and how they've progressed, good or bad, doesn't matter.
Okay. I did want to just say one criticism of Johnny. I don't like that the show, it seems like every season the show starts with him being drunk. And like, I'm kind of like, can we just get over this already? Like, every season he's like disheveled and he's drunk and he's kind of going through it. And then as the season progresses, he's not drinking anymore. So it's like, just kind of like,
Daniel handing him like a green juice or something like that.
And then like in the very first episode of season 3, and That I didn't like that. Like, I'm just kind of like, again, are we at this again? You know, yeah. So that's a criticism. I mean, we were just talking about Johnny right now, but he is a great character as well. But in terms of talking about the kids, definitely Daniel's daughter. Let me just get her name again. Well, I mean, but we know who we're talking about because she has a lot of screen time. She has a lot of screen time.
Hold up. You go ahead.
Yes. Daniel's daughter, like, she has a great character arc in terms of, like, she gets almost like some kind of PTSD from what happened with the school fight, and she's kind of dealing with that, and then she's kind of like there's a rekindling of the love interest with Miguel, and you know, and then kind of getting back into the karate. So I think she had a great character arc. So, and she got a lot of screen time. Like I told you before, I'm a big fan of Tori because I think she just wears evil like on her face, and she and this is one of the great things about this show is, and I said the show for me that started this was Breaking Bad, where it kind of makes you have sympathy for the villain, you know what I'm saying?
And exactly, and
you kind of just see like where she's coming from, where she's like taking care of her sick mother, and she's just like, she's the only one working, and she's like working two jobs, so you know, you feel sympathy for this character, but then she also feels like hurt and betrayed by Miguel because she sees that Miguel hanging out.
Sam, sorry.
What's her name?
Sam.
Oh, Sam. That's the Daniel's daughter. Yeah.
Daniel's daughter,
She had a great character arc. And I also loved how I think that some of the little satellite characters, like let's say Hawk, and then he has this other like penis breath, like I think was one of the kids.
Yeah, I don't know his real name.
Yeah, me neither. Like he has like this whole arc as well with the black kid. Yeah. And then we see Hawk have like kind of a whole character arc where he
like
goes more into
character arcs.
Like he goes more into like asshole mode, but then he starts to see the error of his ways, like especially when he sees his old friend, his arm get broke. Like Hawk did a lot of dumb stuff, but then I think that kind of crossed the line for him. Like breaking of bones is okay. Now this is where I draw the line. You know what I'm saying? Like this is getting too crazy now. And then also the whole thing of like, some of the kids, and I love this, like some of the kids that like were kind of bullying him and Miguel defended him, like they end up now joining Cobra Kai. And like I said, I think that the show does such a great, it's like the whole thing like with Star Wars. And I am going to compare this to Star Wars right now. Like in terms of that, there's this huge group of characters, but they get a lot of time, or they don't get a lot of time, but like the time that they do get, their story is like we get like a reminder of where they're coming from, or this progression in the story. I think from all the kids, like characters, the secondary characters, I think the person who didn't get enough screen time, well, not really enough, but who didn't get a lot of screen time was Robbie, was Johnny's son, you know. But I was, even with Robbie, I was satisfied with what they gave us. I wasn't like clamoring for more. And just wrapping up, I think a character that was introduced who was a super minimal character, but the kid that was like kind of bullying him in prison, the black kid, he was fantastic. Like instantly, like you just kind of hated this guy.
It's believable. So, it's believable.
Yeah, he was great. Yeah. That black kid was great. Like I said, he just was like, he came across as such a jerk and like a bully, and like you just were expecting Robbie to kick his ass, you know what I'm saying? And he was great. He was like, he's probably never gonna come back, you know. But with this show, you never know, you know what I'm saying? He was great. But like I said, the show, I think that's one of the best things about the show is that it just does such a great job developing like this large group of characters, especially when it comes to the kids, you know. It's a bunch of them. It's not like just like the main ones are like Sam and Miguel. But then you have Robbie, and then you have Tori, and then you know, like the little relationships, like with Hawk, and then the other kids. So, and it doesn't even give a lot of, like, it doesn't take forever. It just a few lines, a scene or two, and then you kind of know where it's going with this relationship.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm with you. I won't go on about it again, but I know I'm still a little bit disappointed with whose character. Daniel's daughter's character a little bit.
Sam?
Yeah. Yes, a little bit. But I like that now they've shown her vulnerability, that, you know, you kind of have a reason for her to be a little bit subdued. So I kind of like that. I liked they brought Tori's kind of backstory in, you know a little bit of why is she kind of like this kind of punkish, you know, outsider type character, you know. No, so I think that's kind of cool. I don't know if we talked about this before. Like Sam's old friend, she had glasses, kind of a bigger girl, and she was originally in Cobra Kai. She disappeared. I'm not sure what happened to her.
In the show, they mentioned that like she went away to some kind of boarding school. Like her parents heard about the fight, and she went away to some kind of boarding school or something like that. She was a great character, and I did miss that character. Like she was really great. Like she's the one that went from like being picked on to like kind of being the bully, then to kind of having some sympathy, which is a character arc that you see in a lot of the kids. Mm-hmm. Like it's kind of like they were at one point like maybe innocent or they were bullied and then they became the bully. And then you see them kind of regressing back, like a combination, like kind of in the middle of the road between like the bully and the one being picked on. But I wanted to ask you, Mo, like you were talking about, like, you're not high on the Sam character. Did you come into the season not high on her, or like during this season, you still were not that high?
I came into the season not high on her.
Yeah. Cause she was very vanilla. She like the first season, she was very vanilla.
Yeah, I mean, I even to be honest, I wasn't that impressed. I'm starting to be not as impressed with Robbie's character.
Okay,
a little bit. I kind of feel like he's kind of showing Sam type traits. He's kind of like, I get there's a lot of aggression. He's got a huge backstory, which they've tapped on a little bit, but not enough. I'm waiting for him to just go nuts. Maybe I'm looking for extremes whether or not. But this kid, seriously, if you really look at his backstory, he's got, you know, two parents that are not there. He's been in and out. Who knows if this is his first time in juvie? I have no idea. He seemed like he knew where he was and he wasn't scared to be there. He's unbelievably angry. Kreese notices that is, he's the guy he's targeting more than Miguel, more than Tori. He's targeting Robbie. So he sees that anger in him too. So I'm just thinking, like you said about Daniel's character, how down the line, you're going to see like Robbie literally like breaking bottles over people's heads and Daniel getting knocked. All this stuff is down like season 4, season 5, whatever. So maybe that's to come. I do like the fact that he went to jail and he got, you know, he didn't like turn into like the king of the jail or the king of juvie, whatever. He took his beating, but eventually this guy's going to snap. He has to. I kind of feel like that. Another thing is I kind of like Kreese's backstory. We haven't talked about that yet.
Please. Yeah. I have thoughts. I have thoughts, but please go on ahead first.
Hi, guys. Shameless plug section here. We'd love to have you join our reselling group called the Reseller Niche Help Group on Facebook. A lot of great resellers there. Also, if it's possible, if you could leave us a review on Apple or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Lastly, you can find these podcasts in video form on YouTube. We'd love to have you join us there so you can see some of the products we go through and see some of the people we're interviewing. And if you could possibly subscribe, that would be the kicker. Thanks so much for listening. I think they could have gone into it more, but I liked it. At the same time, I think it was, if they had, it would have taken over and turned into the Kreese story, because that could be a whole season by itself. I like the fact that it shows him as being this, you know, this kid that's not picked on, but obviously he was not the aggressor before. He was defending, you know, who turns out to be his girlfriend eventually. I'm sure we're going to find out what happened to her. It's something about, I don't know, a car crash or something. I don't know what it was. They said something. I kind of feel like we need to know how he's learned to fight, though, because it kind of shows him walking out of a diner. He sees a girl and then like a guy hitting on her, like pulling her arm. And he knocks out two guys basically that are bigger than him. And then she says, "Are you okay?" And he says something like, "I've been through worse." So I kind of feel like there's a backstory to the backstory, if that makes sense. I'd like to know how he learned to fight, because he looked like he was, I mean, if he's old enough to go to the army, he's at least 18, right? So kind of like Johnny's character, how they go back to show him when he's like 12 on a bike, you know, and kind of super like naive and like, ooh, what's this karate thing? I'm wondering if there's going to be something like that for, obviously he's too old to have, he's the one who started Cobra Kai. So there is no karate type thing, but someone must have taught him how to fight. So that's what I'm wondering. Who taught Kreese how to fight? Like, really? Because he got up on that thing and threw a guy into a snake pit, right? How did he learn that?
Okay. No, I'm sorry. I wanted to. Let me tell you something that I think that was one of the strongest things of this season. The whole thing with Kreese and his backstory, because the actor who played him was great. And I was really intrigued. Like, I never felt they were, and we're going to get into it, but there were definitely parts in this season where I kind of like, this is kind of boring, you know, like I never had that with the first two seasons, but there were parts in the season that I wasn't very fully engaged, but the Kreese backstory stuff, I was fascinated by, and I can use a little mini series of 2-3 episodes of just his backstory. 100%. Like, that's how much I enjoyed it. So my understanding, and like I said, if anybody's watching this, please comment below if I'm completely wrong, but my understanding was like, and this is a theme throughout this show that begins with Daniel in the very first Karate Kid coming from the wrong side of the tracks, or just coming from a rough upbringing to kind of make something of yourself. You know, and this is a thing where if it's not happening in that order, it's happening in reverse. Like, it's happening in reverse with Johnny, you know, like where maybe he had the money and then like slowly, like he's kind of more finding himself and more like wanting to help people. And like just realizing that life is not all about like kind of like the chicks and the sun and the motorcycle and, you know, but with Daniel's character, let's say with Tori's character, we're seeing it maybe with Daniel's daughter, where maybe she's coming from a comfortable lifestyle, but like, you know, like there's real stuff happening in the streets kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? And she's kind of coming into that age. So this is a continuing theme. Like I said, coming from something to become nothing. Or I'm sorry, coming from nothing to become something, or coming from something and then not becoming nothing, but like kind of evolving mentally and spiritually kind of. Okay. So just with that being said, my understanding with Kreese was like that he had a rough upbringing. So he was always fighting. So when he fought the guys in the alley, like that was just him fighting. But now when he fought the guy at the snake pit, like that guy was teaching him moves, you know? Yeah. Like, sure. So I think that was the beginning of his kind of like his martial arts or whatever kind of training. So once the guy said that, and it's funny because like this was like his military leader, like when he was in Vietnam, he told him that, oh, you know, your girlfriend, like I got the letter and she's dead. I thought that he was kind of I thought he was sacrificing himself to motivate Kreese, like save the guys and, you know, don't worry about me. I'm on my way out. That's just what I thought. I thought that was the noble thing. But what you end up getting is like, Kreese already was kind of coming up from a rough part of it. Like, he had a rough upbringing, but then meeting this guy who I think was a very kind of important figure for him, like in terms of like how to defend yourself. And if you're not first, you're last, that whole thing, with Talladega Nights, right? But that kind of like teaching that, like, if you're not first, you're last, and you got to make your way in the world and let nobody get in your way. But he was really like telling him, like, yeah, your girlfriend's dead. I'm going to kick your ass and I'm walking out of here. You're done. You know? And then when he heard that, he's like, oh, dude, I'm going to fuck you up. I'm sorry if you could curse out here or not.
No,
I'm going to mess you up. Like, you're dead. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you told me that my girlfriend's dead and now, like, you thinking you're going to kick my ass? You know what I mean? And he's like, dude, I'm going to finish you. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And like I said, I thought that was fantastic. But, yeah, like the Kreese stuff, the backstory stuff, thumbs up with this season for sure.
And then I think the kicker at the end of that scene was, I guess, I don't know, the army shows up. So they've kind of been liberated, you know, out of that, you know, jail, whatever it is. And then he's got a chance to pull the guy up, right?
He's like, oh, the guy that Kreese sacrificed himself for. So Kreese sacrificed himself for another guy who was just like, I don't want to die and stuff like that.
Yeah.
He's like, I'll go. You know what I'm saying? And then once Kreese steps up, the guy's like, dude, I'm forever indebted to you. And you get this feeling like it's a thing where this guy's like some kind of a money guy that Kreese is going to call in a favor for. But also, I just wanted to add this one final thing. Definitely you get like... like I said, I'm going to bring it back to Star Wars. I have Star Wars in the brain today. You definitely get an Emperor and Darth Vader vibe. Definitely. Like, the guy who was, like, egging him on and like, dude, I'm going to finish you. I don't care. Like, I'm going to be the number one. Very dark side, very Lord of the Sith. Like, the guy was the Emperor. And then, like, Kreese was, like, Darth Vader. And he became Darth Vader. But to become fully Darth Vader, you had to kill his master kind of thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I almost feel like Kreese is egging on Johnny to take him out. I mean, maybe this is super foreshadowing. Like you said, like once you just said that, I
would say even like right now, the Kreese is the Emperor, and Robbie, who joins him in the end, he's Anakin Skywalker. You know what I'm saying? Like, so if it's not if Johnny isn't like Obi-Wan Kenobi or something, you know what I mean? And let's say if he actually, which I don't never think he will, like in terms of like really finish Kreese, then he'll become like. Like he'll become the evil one, kind of. You know what I'm saying? But I don't think that he's gonna do that, though. I don't think he. I think he would I think Johnny's becoming Obi-Wan, where he would sacrifice himself just to make sure that Robbie's okay, and also to not kill, you know, Kreese, because he doesn't like him, but he doesn't want to kill him. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. I mean, everything, like you said, goes back to Star Wars, goes back to Hamlet, goes back to Oedipus Rex. I think it is.
Yeah, because that story is like. You know, something else I learned from James Altucher is like that's a story like that is just has always repeated the hero's journey, right? And like Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader, and then like there's something like the Legend of Bagger Vance. It follows the same kind of model. Like somebody is on a journey to, you know, find you know, and then they find the wise guide, and then they go on this journey. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly. And I kind of feel like towards the end of season three. Well, not kind of. They definitely make a point of saying there's three sides. There's not two sides anymore. It's three. Season three, you see the poster. You got three of them there. It's Daniel, Kreese in the middle, and Johnny now. Or is it Johnny and Daniel? Well, anyway, there's three of them. And obviously, towards the end, you got three dojos now. You got, I forget what the Johnny called it, like the
Eagle wild. Fang, which is a terrible name, but it's great though. Eagle Fang. Yeah.
I mean, they're sitting. Like,
that makes no sense. Yeah, Eagle Fang. Like,
fabulous name, and I love the shirt too. But I mean, you can't do anything. But you can do. Johnny's good at merch. I will say that posters are merch. He's good at that.
You're gonna have to hire him, Mo. You're gonna have to hire him for the reseller niche T-shirt.
I love those. And all that, but I mean. I think they're setting that up with such a bad name that has to be dropped. Like they're obviously towards the end.
No, not dropped. I think they're going to celebrate that. Like Eagle Fang. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I mean, no, I'm sorry. Continue. No, you go.
What I was going to say is towards the end, you see a couple of things. You see the merging of factions, like the kids, they have that meeting. And then all of a sudden a brawl at Daniel's home. Like, it took out his entire house, basically.
I'd be so pissed. I'd be like, what the hell, dude?
Just on a side note, they threw that kid who looks like he's in fifth grade through the window.
Dude, they broke glass tables. They threw a kid through a window. They broke glass tables. Like, these kids, and they didn't go to the hospital or something? But like
I thought it was hilarious that they threw him through the window, and then they walked in through the front door. I'm like, so your front door was unlocked. I mean, okay. But then who shows up to somebody else's house, unless it's like, you know, rival, like real time gangs, and does that?
But this is kind of like, this is kind of what they've become. Yes. Like, let's call it spade a spade. Like each of these factions have become like a karate gang.
Yeah.
And they don't have the wanton destruction of real estate, everything. Yeah, they don't care.
No, not at all. And then, I mean, I'm trying to think of Daniel's reaction after. Did they react after like seeing the house?
I don't think they did. I think it just went to the scene where like they kind of are merging together. Like I don't think that there was a Daniel and the wife coming home.
I kept thinking.
I don't think there was. I don't think there was.
I kept thinking, I'm like, they've just destroyed. I mean, destroyed your house. I mean,
that the windows broken. Furniture broken. There's blood. There's gonna be blood in the house too, because they were kicking each other's ass. Yeah.
I mean, and then you see like Tori basically turns into like the Terminator. She's at the she's at the point where she's walking through, and like somebody punches her, and she's not even looking. It's almost like Matrix-ish. You know.
I love it. I love it. You know, like, that's where the B movie part comes in. It's just like, this is ridiculous, but I'm loving this. Yeah.
Like she's like guys that are bigger than her, fatter than her. There's like three of them, and she just
She finishes them. She's like throwing them over her head, you know. Yeah.
So I thought that I enjoyed that for what you said, like the B movie factor. I thought that was hilarious, and I really enjoyed. I liked the fact that they made Sam's character vulnerable, and she's like cringing. She's like, "Oh no, what do I do
like
now?"
She has like some kind of PTSD from like getting cut with she got like, I guess she got cut with a knife, pretty much. You know what I'm saying? Which I think is great. I think it's like she had more character. It was kind of like seasons one and two were kind of like building her up. And like I said, she was a little vanilla, but here, like, she also showed, like, she can be, like, a jerk a little bit. Like, she's like, we got to kick their ass. And, like, she was, like, super aggressive at times. And then she, like, suffers this kind of, like, PTSD thing. And then, like, you see her kind of come back from that, which I think was great. Like, I like that arc. I really do. It feels like I can't, you know, like, I'm frozen. And, like, you know, I got this great advice from my dad. It's very Daniel kind of LaRusso journey as well, a little bit, like kind of like fear, but then I got to conquer my fear, which is great.
Exactly. I thought that too, because coming out of season two where I thought, maybe she's going to be kind of similar to her brother. I mean, obviously not, but like her brother is like a non-factor at this point. Like you've seen
him. Like that dude shows up for like 30 seconds. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's getting older and everything.
You watch Happy Days?
Yes, I've know of Happy Days. Yes.
Okay, his brother that shows up like three times in like 10 seasons or something like that. Chuck, I think his name is. Yeah. So anyway, so maybe that's their whole thing with it. But when you mentioned character arcs, so you got me thinking a little bit now. I kind of feel like the writers, directors, whatever, throw in characters to see how audiences react to them. Like I think they probably noticed Sam's character was like you said a little vanilla, and they stepped it up. So with Chosen, with Kimiko, with Ali, we didn't talk about Ali yet.
We didn't talk about Miguel, really. Like, we didn't talk about his whole journey as well.
Exactly. These arcs, like Miguel's arc, like you can see that he's basically, obviously, Cobra Kai to basically Miyagi-Do. And, like, he's gone from the aggressor, the champion, to, now I need to be, you know, a little bit calmer. And they obviously switched roles with Robbie. Robbie was that kid before, and now Robbie's gone to the dark side.
But that's the whole thing with this show. Like, even from the very first episode, like, you see where Johnny is, you see where Daniel is, and then you see kind of where they go and their journey, and their journey as well. Like, they're like the main characters. So Kreese hasn't changed very much, but you see Johnny and Daniel, like, they kind of go up and down and, you know, and around, and sometimes they go around in a circle and are in the same space that they were last season or something. But then you see something that happens that kind of gets them out of their comfort zone or something from their past, you know? Yeah. Miguel, I felt kind of like that. Like he almost kind of went in a circle. Like he came from being picked on and then he became super aggressive. And then, like I said, with a lot of other people, he's kind of like now in the middle of the road where you can't be too much of that. You can't be too much of that. But he has evolved. Like, he's never going to go back to being the kind of like the simp. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's kind of more like being more like, you know, I can handle myself. And he was even getting his ass kicked by the bully kid in this one, which I thought was good. Like, it doesn't show him like indestructible. Like, kind of like you said, like Tori was the Terminator a little bit. Yeah. You know, like he was like, you know, and I also liked that the guys were willing to go up against Tori. Like, it wasn't a thing like, no, she's a girl, I can't hit her. I'm like, no, I'm gonna mess this girl up. You know what I'm
basically
saying?
Basically, there were two girls. That, if I can remember correctly, there were only two. One on each side, basically. That was it. Yeah, and the rest of it was all guys.
Yeah. So, and there's more girls in the class, too. But especially in Cobra Kai, like, you see in the class, but they don't really, like, you know.
I kind of feel like when Tori came out, that's why that other girl got pushed out. They kind of feel like, you know, there's only room for two, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
And I guess talking about that, going back to Chosen, Kimiko, I think that they're done. I don't know if they're going to bring them back. But Ali's character, though. I'm sorry. Go ahead. If you're going to say something.
No, as a whole, I just have two complaints. And they're kind of, like I said, the whole thing with Johnny in the beginning, like, this guy's still drunk. And then by the end of the season, he's not drunk anymore. It's just like, and they did this, like, I think they did this every season so far. So it's kind of like, can we drop this already? You know what I mean? But, another thing was, for me, the show bogged down, like, when it got, like, kind of boring, was kind of when Daniel went to Japan. Like, I mean, it had some good moments, but it just kind of got bogged down, and it was, like, a little boring.
Not a whole episode.
Yeah, and also, but I mean, like I said, it had good stuff, like the whole thing with Kimiko, like, kind of showing him these scrolls, and then, like, him training with Chosen. Like, it had some good things, but it just wasn't, the magic wasn't there. And also when they were looking for Robbie, like this whole, like, I love that fight thing. Like, you know, I said it's totally B movie style, ridiculous, but the whole searching for him, like that, this like seems to take forever. It's just like, can we just get through this? And like, that's when, and that was the beginning of the season. But, you know, once you kind of pass those parts, then you get back into the magic of the show with the kids and then Daniel and Johnny and Kreese. And then the introduction of Allie, who Elizabeth Shue, she looks still to this day looks amazing. And whenever she shows up in shows like she was in The Boys, which a lot of critics have said is one of the best shows of 2020, season two. And she was, she didn't, wasn't in that season so much, but she was more in season one. But still, Elizabeth Shue is fantastic. I hope that they make another Adventures in Babysitting sequel, maybe, that she's in. You know what I mean? I wouldn't be against that for Netflix or something. But I think Elizabeth Shue is fantastic. She only has a show for one episode, and you get Elizabeth Shue's magic, and you're good. Like, she doesn't have to be a recurring character. I love that. And us speaking about, like, and I'm going off a tangent here. I'm going to pipe down in a moment, Mo. But, like, now there's characters that you can still pull from for Karate Kid 3 and Karate Kid 4. Like, you could bring in Hilary Swank, who was the main character for Karate Kid 4. You know, you could bring in, like, I vaguely remember Karate Kid 3, but I know it was like a slick back guy with like a ponytail. A
taller guy, taller, long guy. I know his face, I don't know his name.
So there's still characters that you can kind of pick from, which is great. Like, you basically have a Karate Kid universe.
Actually, which is, sorry, there's two characters there. There's, like you said, the slick black, like darker hair, like longer hair. And there's like shorter hair kid that I think Daniel fights him because they showed a scene from that. Remember he said he was nervous, and then he's fighting this kid that's taller than him. Kind of like a Johnny character, but with like a more of a short haircut. But yeah.
Okay. So, but those are my main complaints about the season. In the beginning, it's a little bit boring, but I could even say the same thing about the last season of Stranger Things, which, you know, I think is one of Netflix's best shows. It starts off a little slow. It starts off a little like kind of.
I didn't get through season three. I think it's season three of Stranger Things. I didn't get
it. I mean, and it ends super dope, but in the beginning, it is a little bit of a slog. And like, I would have to say that, like I said, this one is less of a slog because there are things happening. But it's still like, it just becomes a little bit uninteresting.
I'm with you.
It starts as it goes to the end, then they hit you with Allie, then they hit you with the kids. And like I said, the stuff with the kids is always, for me, like some of the best because it mixes with the adult stuff. Those are my overall comments on Cobra Kai, definitely. But you were saying, Mo, I'm sorry. I don't know. I hope I didn't get off track.
No. With Chosen, I feel like, they took a whole half this episode to basically tell a joke. Like, he's this angry
super. No, but he did teach Daniel something. He did teach Daniel, like, those moves. And the whole thing with the scrolls, too. I think that those are, like, you know, those are kind of necessary.
But what was the point of him acting like he's so upset? And then a scene, it's like, okay, now I've taught you this. The scrolls I wasn't going to give you, I'm going to give them to you. Now you see I'm a friendly guy. Like, I kind of felt like that they dragged that out way too long. Like, that could have been done. That was like a 15-second joke. Like, I'm pissed off. Okay, no, I'm not really pissed off.
Like, it didn't need a whole episode, you think? Yeah.
Exactly. And then Kimiko, she's way too smiley to be somebody that, like, she talks about how she's been a free agent like her entire life.
And like, I'm surprised, like, she didn't, like, kind of try to jump on Daniel. Like,
exactly.
You can tell that was still an attraction there. Like, I think if Daniel would have said, like, dude, if Daniel would have said, dude, let's go to my hotel room, she would have been like, dude, when and let's go right now. Yeah, you really got that vibe. Like, if Daniel wanted to hit that, he could have hit that, like, with the quickness. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
But my point is they didn't go. I mean, maybe, I don't know, that's in the future. I kind of wonder. I don't think they're gonna relive those characters. I think Chosen is done.
I don't think that. Yeah, they don't have to come back. They don't have to, like,
now. There's nothing of interest to me. Now we know their entire backstory, and nothing. Only thing that might be a little bit interesting is, I kind of could have seen you know how Chosen kind of at the end of Karate Kid 2, he's kind of ostracized. He's the fallen whatever. I would have liked to see a slight clip of him going off the deep end, maybe a Kree, like a la Kreese type thing. But that's done now. They can't do that anymore. So he's already known now. He's already found his calling or whatever. He's a teacher or whatever. He's
yeah, and that's good. Like I don't need more. I don't need more of the Japan stuff. It's
you don't
it's
need more. About Ali. What about Ali though?
No, even with Ali, like with Ali, she's a great character, and yeah. I love how she like kind of like got Johnny and also Daniel. Like she got them like super excited and stuff like that, like seeing this old friend. But I think that's one of the best things about the show. Like bring back those old characters, but just have them like for a good story purpose okay. in the episode. And then that's it. And then they can bounce. You know what I'm saying? And then, like I said, I'm okay with that. I'm totally because it leaves space for other characters. And I want to continue to develop and evolve like the whole thing with the kids too. You know what I'm saying? Because I find that super interesting, you know?
To be honest, like I said, Kimiko and Chosen, yeah, they're done. But I could do with a little bit more of Ali's backstory. The 18, the whatever, 55, whatever they are now, 50. That's a lot of time. You've got two people, the two main characters in the show that she used to go out with, and she dumped them both. And they haven't seen her since like 1987 or whatever it was. I think there's a little bit more in there. I don't think they're going to get her to be in the show again because she's on The Boys, I think. Oh, no, they killed her. Oh, sorry.
They killed her off in The Boys. Yeah, yeah. Sorry, spoiler for The Boys. Yeah, you know what I mean? That was in season one, though. She got 86. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, so, I think there's an opportunity for her. I think there's more. Yeah, there's more juice in that story, personally. I think they could.
More meat on that bone there.
Especially since they tried to set it up like. Like she's like the like it's a like a love triangle between Miguel's mom, Johnny, and then like they're going an alley. You know, she's recently divorced and her parents don't like it. You know, you got the disgruntled. Yeah. So anyway, so I think there could be more in there. I thought.
No, and like in wrapping it up, Mo, and I like what are your like final thoughts and like what score would you give Cobra Kai season?
Season three. If I was to compare it with one and two, I liked one and two more. I think the second half, like you said, progressed really fast and it got much better. If this was season one, I'm not sure if I would have gone through the whole thing. I probably would have because it's Karate Kid. I know that. So I would say I would give it a 7 out of 10 because of the second half. If the second half hadn't progressed, if you didn't see the arcs kind of finalize, you see Sam and Tori's characters and Robbie's character kind of progress a little bit, I would say that it would have been the 6. So what about you, though?
Okay. One final note that I wanted to make was that Johnny is not a great dad to Robbie. But then again, Robbie's not the best son either. Like no. When Johnny has to kind of be there for Robbie, like he's just like if something happens with Miguel, he goes to Miguel first, and I don't think that that's great. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, no, and not that it's not great. Like with the story, I'm talking about Johnny's character. I think it's great yes. that the show kind of shows that to you.
Yes.
But I don't think that Johnny as a dad, and I mean it's kind of like there's more and more proof that he's just not really 100% there for Robbie. You know what yeah. I mean?
Absolutely.
But like you know, Robbie has kind of like a surrogate dad with Daniel a little bit sometimes. And slowly we're starting to see Johnny like with Miguel's mom and yeah. then like with Miguel, like he's going to become his dad eventually, kind of, sort of, you know what I'm saying? If yeah. he's not already in a yeah. form or fashion, you know what I'm saying? But I hope that, you know, I hope that the show kind of brings him and Robbie closer together over time. But as a whole, when we talked about Cobra Kai before, like we watched season one and two together. Like, we didn't see, like, season one by itself, season two. So it kind of fed into season two nicely. And, like, the story arcs and how everything kind of accumulated. So seasons one and two, like, they work fantastically, you know? And it even, like, has a very, I think with the whole high school fight, you feel very satisfied. Like, I'm mm-hmm. looking forward to this. I'm invested in these characters. So I wonder how it would be, like, for the person who will see this in a year or two or three, that they see the whole thing all together. You know what I mean? Because I think that they might view season three differently. You know, like I saw the Karate Kid movies. Now I'm going to see seasons 1 through 5 or seasons 1 through whatever together. And I'm going to like kind of give my review then. But just season 3 on its own, I 100% agree with you. The first half is a little bit slow. It's a little bit like kind of like this is not super interesting. But then it ends strongly. You know what I'm saying? And I would even say like that the ending fight is not as satisfying as the high school fight or even the tournament that you get in the very first season.
Agreed.
So, you know, but as a whole, I'm with you. Like this is I like the, like I said, this, the ending. And I even got a little emotional, like when you see Johnny and Daniel like working together now. To go up against the common villain. So I got, that got me like, I was such a strong, good end. I wasn't crazy about Hawk jumping ship because that was so quick. You know what I mean? And he's been such a great villain. Like Hawk, you know, the bad guy, one of the bad kids for Cobra Kai. But as a whole, this was like more like a 7.5 for me because, like I said, getting through that slog to have such a great ending with them coming together, which is a payoff from all two seasons and the movies. Yep. And now they're like, we're together. And I was like, wow, you know? So it's a 7.5 for me.
Okay. I thought of 2 points. I'll make them real fast. Yeah. One, I agree with you with Hawk. He's started borderline confusing. This kind of
flip-flopping. Oh, I'm sorry. Say who again?
Borderline, like, he's like flip-flopping in a sense. Who? Hawk. Hawk's character.
Yes.
So that confused me a little bit. Number two.
Who's a great, great character, by the way. He's so good at being a jerk. Like, the show does such a great job with villains. Yes.
In the I sense love of like he's about to break what's his name's arm. Then he, just, so he thought about it. He said, "Ah, no, I'll just do it." And then Miguel, I thought his transformation from being in a coma, almost dead, to walking was way too fast. I mean, I'm not saying they took too much time on the screen, but the way they did it was kind of hokey, kind of like, eh.
This show, I'm telling you, Mo, B-movie, teen soap opera, like 90210 kind of vibes, like CW, like 100%. Like, you're mixing these two things up with nostalgia. And like I said, I think that's the formula for this show. Like, to, like, it's like I'm having a lot of sugar and it's bothering my teeth, but I'm just still loving the sugar.
Because I know we're wrapping this up. Was, where does Johnny get the money for Miguel's surgery?
Where does Johnny get the money to do anything?
That's true. No, he went to his dad. And then dad said no, I think, and he walked out.
Yeah, like, so where does he get this money?
So
I'll he's not working. You never see him working. He's maybe either at the hospital. Art,
like his dad is going to be back in. I don't know.
Yeah, so it's kind of like The Flash on CW, like going back to CW. Okay. They support this humongous facility, and nobody's ever working. Everybody's just hanging out in the facility. It's like, dude, how are you making money to turn to keep the lights on? You know what I mean? And this thing is, like, humongous. Star Labs is huge, and, like, the electricity is always running, and they're always dealing with cases. But how are you getting money to pay for all this?
Exactly. Yeah. So we'll leave it there because I think we left some open-ended questions. Anybody who watches this, maybe you can answer in the comments. That'd be great.
Please, yeah, correct us. Correct us, absolutely.
Yeah. Or if you thought differently than us, that too. But before I forget, please, Paul, let everyone know where they can find you and all that good stuff.
Once again, my name is Paul V. Perez. The name of the podcast is the Improve and Have Fun Podcast. ImproveAndHaveFun.com. The latest episode Mo is on, where we talked about the nearby future of work and life. We had a very interesting conversation, and I also talk about my 2021 goals. Next episode is right now. I'm cooking it up. I'm making a stew in the kitchen. It's going to be about my first weird stories episode, where I cover UFO stuff. I cover strange stories in the news. I'm also including conspiracy theories and ghost stories. So that's going to be the next episode. That should be out sometime this week. When? I don't know, but before Sunday for sure.
Nice. I'm going to put that link down below. Improve and Have Fun Podcast. Check it out. Good stuff. And I hope to, Paul's got interesting takes on lots of different subjects. That's how I'll put it. It's not one thing you get there. You get a variety of subjects. So just in case you guys want to check us out, obviously we're on YouTube, or if you're listening on podcast, if you could subscribe, leave us a review, leave us a comment on our, obviously on Paul's or my podcast.
Hit that like button. Yeah, hit that notification button so you know when
please do. That helps us.
Coming on, absolutely.
We would really, really appreciate it. If you want to check us out on Facebook, we're at the Reseller Niche Help Facebook group, and obviously Reseller Niche on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. But until the next one, just want to say thanks for listening. Have a good one.
Thanks for listening to the Reseller Niche Podcast. Show notes and social media links are located at resellerniche.com. Please comment, rate, and subscribe to us on iTunes or YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts.